When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is Jesus' command to us. We are called to love one another. This command is not limited to members of Trinity Baptist Church. We are called to love all Christians everywhere. What does that mean practically? Is it just a feeling? Or is it action? How do we obey this command today? This morning we are going to look at three ways to obey this command. Three ways to obey this command. And since this is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we are going to apply this scripture to the persecuted church. Watch this. There's a beautiful story of two prisoners that got released from prison through the power of God. Number one in your notes, pray for them. Pray for them. One of the best things you can do to love your brother or sister in Christ is to pray for them. I assume that most people in this room are in a regular habit of praying for one another. And I want to challenge you with this question. You already pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. The question is this: how do you pray for them? How do you pray for them? Do you pray for God to improve their circumstances? Or do you pray for God to transform their heart? Brothers and sisters, we can and we should pray for physical problems and circumstances. But I want you to know this. This is the second statement in your notes. Most of your praying for other Christians should be focused on their spiritual growth. Most of your praying for other Christians should focus on their spiritual growth. If you want to learn how to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, come with me to the Apostle Paul's School of Prayer. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this beautiful prayer. Paul is praying for brothers and sisters in Christ, and he shows us how to do it. Ephesians 1:15. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." That is how to pray for someone else. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That is how to pray for another person. Let's look at another one. Turn just a couple pages to Philippians chapter 1. Here is Paul's prayer for his brothers and sisters in Christ, Philippians 1, 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? That is how we should be praying for each other. Let's look at another one. Turn just a few pages to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have never stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? You can use this prayer in Colossians chapter 1 as a model of how to pray for each other. Let's look at one more. Turn a couple pages over. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the school of prayer from the Apostle Paul. This is how we should be praying for each other. If you want to pray for one another, physical needs, earthly circumstances are fine, and we should be praying about that. But the majority of your prayer, the focus of your prayer, the primary prayer must rise above the earthly and pray for what is spiritual. Would you please turn to the person next to you? Pick one of these passages, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, or 2 Thessalonians. Turn to the person next to you, pick one of the passages, and pray for the persecuted church from this passage. Heavenly Father, from Colossians chapter 1, we come before you now, Heavenly Father, and we pray this for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted all over the world. We ask you to fill them with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray, O God, that no matter how difficult it gets, that we and they would live a life worthy of our beautiful Lord Jesus Christ, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And we pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen us and them with all power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, that no matter how difficult it gets to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, we would joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And no matter what difficulties we or they face, that we would always remember that you have rescued us from the horrible dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 2 in your notes. Number 1 is pray for them. Number 2 is meet their spiritual needs. Meet their spiritual needs. Please join me in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the fallings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Another way to love one another is to do all you can to help your brothers and sisters grow in Christ. This is what the body of Christ is all about. This is why we have a church. The body of Christ, specifically Trinity Baptist Church, is to be nothing more than a group of people coming together to help each other grow in Christ. Look at Paul's picture of the church in Ephesians chapter 4. Leave your place in Romans 15. Leave your place in Romans 15. Perhaps I'm saying that unclearly. Mark Romans 15. Leave a finger in Romans 15 and go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Notice how this is not talking about individuals. This is talking about all of us are to grow together into maturity. Then we, that is the community, will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. Beautiful picture of what the church is supposed to be. We are the body of Christ, and we all are supposed to supply our individual role so that all of us can grow. And that's what the church is all about. What about our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted just because they believe in Jesus? What can we do thousands of miles away to help them grow? I think one of the best things we can do is to give them their own Bible. Think about yourself. Where would you be in your life if you did not have your own copy of God's Word? Where would you be? Where would I be if I didn't have my own Bible? Hopefully you kept Romans 15. Turn back there again. Romans 15, verse 1 again. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Scriptures give us encouragement and hope. Amen? Is that what you have experienced in your life? Our brothers and sisters need the encouragement and hope of the Scriptures in their lives too. Think about this. How are they going to be able to identify false prophets without their own Bible? Right now in the Middle East, God's Spirit is moving and people are coming to know Jesus Christ. But so many of them do not have their own Bible. What if a false teacher comes up? What if a false teacher goes into some of these countries where thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ? What if a false teacher goes into that country and deceives them? How are they going to recognize false teaching unless they have their own copy of the truth? How are they going to recognize it? How are they going to recognize false teaching if they do not have the teaching of the apostles and prophets? These new believers are babies in Christ. What can we do for them? How can we help them? Please turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24, Colossians 1, 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect
in Christ. This is how we grow baby Christians into mature Christians. How do you take a baby Christian and mature them, grow them into a mature Christian? An infant, how do you take an infant and transition them to a toddler? You give them milk. How do we take an infant in Christ and mature them into a child in Christ? We feed them with the pure milk of the Word of God. How do we take a baby in Christ and bring them to a mature adult in Christ? We feed them on the meat of the Word of God. How can Trinity Baptist Church and the other five churches that have joined us, how can we help our brothers and sisters, the new Christians that are coming to Christ right now in the Middle East, how can we help them, give them their own Bible? Turn one page to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. How are these new believers going to let the word of Christ dwell in them richly if they do not have their own Bible? They've got to have their own Bible. And we need to equip, we need to supply these new believers to serve the Lord. Don't you think that's true? We need to equip and supply these new believers to serve the Lord. How do we do that? Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We can equip them. We can outfit them. We can supply them to be strong Christians by giving them their own Bible. We can protect them from false teaching by giving them their own Bible. And we can give them the endurance and encouragement and hope to stand firm in persecution by giving them their own Bible. Would you please turn to the person next to you and pray that every persecuted Christian in the entire world would have their own Bible. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that by your wonderful grace, we have our own copy of the Holy Scriptures. We want you to know that it is a precious, priceless treasure to us. We have no idea where we would be without our own Bible. This book is our light. It is our life. It is our peace. It is more precious to us than silver or gold. The Holy Scriptures, the teaching of your prophets and the teaching of the apostles of your glorious Lord Jesus Christ, they fill our heart with joy. They shine light into our minds and hearts. They teach us to be wise. They keep us from stumbling. They are a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. And we know, Heavenly Father, that if you would touch the hearts of all the Christians in America, all the Christians in Europe, all the Christians in other places, Lord God, that we could easily provide every Christian in the Middle East, every Christian in North Africa, every Christian in China, every Christian in North Korea, we could supply every Christian with their own copy of God's Word, and we cannot possibly fathom what the eternal result would be if every Christian had their own Bible. So we come before you this morning and we pray that by a mighty work of your Holy Spirit and a mighty work of your provision, that you would provide every single Christian in the world with their own copy of God's Holy Word. In Jesus' name, amen. How to love one another. Number one, pray for them. Number two, meet their spiritual needs. And lastly, meet their physical needs. Meet their physical needs. Would you please join me in Galatians chapter 6? Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do you know another brother or sister at Trinity Baptist Church that has a physical, material need? One way you can obey the command of Jesus Christ is to meet that need. Think about your Trinity family. Is there someone who has a need, a physical, material need at Trinity? Make it your goal to meet that need. Beyond the people of Trinity Baptist, there is a group of people that are hungry, thirsty, homeless, naked, and sick in prison because they follow Jesus Christ. There are millions of people all over the world that are hungry, thirsty, homeless, naked, sick, or in prison. Millions. But I am not talking about just those people this morning. I am talking about a special group of people. A group of people that are hungry, thirsty, homeless, naked, sick, and in prison because they have chosen to follow Jesus. They are the persecuted church. And I think we have a special duty to take care of those who are homeless, hungry, naked, thirsty, sick, and in prison because they have chosen to follow Christ. These people would not be in that condition if they had not chosen to follow Christ. If they had not chosen to be Christians, they would have plenty. But because they have chosen to unite themselves with Christ, to believe in Christ, to have faith in Christ, to be Christians, because they have chosen that path, they are homeless, hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, and in prison. This describes our brothers and sisters in the country of Sudan. Our brothers and sisters in Sudan have had their hospitals burned down simply because they believed in Jesus. And now many of them are sick and they have no hospital. Our brothers and sisters in North Korea are in prison. Now, there are millions of people around the world that are in prison. But I'm talking about a special group of people. I'm talking about our brothers and sisters in North Korea who are in prison. And what is their crime? Following Jesus. I think we have a special duty to take care of them. And when we reach out to our brothers and sisters who are homeless and hungry and thirsty and naked and sick and in prison because they are Christians, when we reach out to them, we are obeying the command of Jesus Christ in a very practical and real way. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 3? First John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Loving one another is the most basic, fundamental command of Jesus Christ. Loving one another should be what your life is all about. It should be why you get up in the morning, brothers and sisters. It should be the focus of your time, talent, and treasure. If you want to be an obedient Christian, loving one another should be what your life is all about. It should be the focus of your life. Lastly, please join me in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Would you please turn to the person next to you and pray for the brother or sister in Saudi Arabia or Sudan or China or North Korea or Cambodia? Would you please turn to the person next to you and pray for the brother or sister who is homeless or hungry or thirsty or naked or sick and in prison?